Good morning.
Good morning,
Aiken Church family and friends and guests, and I don't know the difference between, but regardless, we're glad that you're here, and we're glad that we're here. As has been said, I'm a retired pastor. We live in Columbia, and my claim to fame is being married to my wife, Judy, who is a school teacher, and we have a nice situation. She still works. I mean, you understand the situation. But anyway, we're delighted to be here. I want to share with you a message today, and I'm going to fold into that message a little something that Becky Morton brought up. And when you hear it, you'll see how it fits so nicely and how it fits so nicely in the ministry of this church. It just happened that way, and I'm sure glad it did. Now listen up. When I begin this message, it's going to start out, and it's going to be a little on the grim side. It's realistic, what I'm about to share with you, and you may not be thrilled with what it has to say, but it's facts, and it's reality. But we will end happy, all right? We'll end glad that we heard what we had to hear. But there are some things we need to know, and I want to share this with you. And the theme today is about evangelism and about us as Seventh-day Adventists and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world and the challenges we have. And let me begin by saying this. Back in May of 2012, a year ago, The Tidings, which most all of you should get, had an article, and it featured evangelism. Big spread. The whole thing was all about evangelism. Well, the truth of the matter is, there was a good reason why it was. And the reason was, the church in North America is in decline. That's kind of sobering. The church in North America, the Adventist church, is getting smaller. I want to talk about that. Like I said, we're going to start with just reality, but we'll end happy. So just stay with me on this. In an article in USA Today, it stated this, Adventists, Back to Basics Faith, is the fastest growing U.S. church in North America. That was a year ago. Silent. Folks, it says the Adventist church was the fastest growing church in North America. But there's more to the story than that. And that's what I want to share with you. When I heard that, I'm thinking, there's something just doesn't ring true about that in my own personal experience. Judy and I've been retired for 5 years, and I've visited lots and lots of churches in the conference. I used to work in the conference office, know my way around a little bit. And I'm thinking, something just doesn't ring true about that. And then I read this quote from the director of evangelism for the North American division. His name is Ron Clouseau. Okay? He is an authority in our church. And he says this, Hispanic Adventists are the one group that is growing very well. If we didn't have that group, we would look even more dismal. He's with the North American Evangelism Institute. He's one of us. The growth rate in America, that is the population rate, is 1.7%. But listen to this. The truth of the matter is, Adventists are losing members, but at a slower rate than the rest of the mainline Protestant churches. All churches are losing membership, not just us. It so happens that we're losing members at a slower rate, therefore that makes us the fastest growing. You got to work with the numbers on that one, don't you? But that's the way it was reported. I'm sure that's the way it's true. Well, in a study that was done, and these are interesting numbers. Listen up on this. In our own internal study of the current status of the church, and I'm going to tell you who it's from. It's called Reflections on the Future of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in North America, Trends and Challenges, and it was in Ministry Magazine. This is something Pastor Matcham and I get. We get it free, and maybe some of your elders get it too. Ministry Magazine, it is a magazine that our denomination publishes just for pastors. And in this survey that they did, here's what they found out. This is interesting. From 1975 to 2005, population in North America grew by 1.09%. But the church in North America grew at 0.06%. If you put that in your mind, you think about it, it's a teeny little bit of growth against something else. Okay? It indicates that the Seventh-day Adventist presence is shrinking in North America. The median age of a church member in North America is 51 years old. But in general, the median age of the population, of the entire population of North America, is 36. There's a big disparity there between the age group of us and them out there. It takes 27 members to produce one baptism. And that's, in these days, 27 members to produce one baptism. In 1980, it took just 15 members per baptism. Here's what I find astonishing. And I know this is true. The Seventh-day Adventist Church in North America is spending, well, let me stop. Get ready to do some wild guessing. How much do you think it costs us per baptism in North America? Think big. How many dollars per person baptized on average do you think it would cost? $24,000. Anybody would like to go higher than $24,000? A little lower than that, it's $41,000 per baptism. Think about that. And these aren't numbers that were dreamed up. I mean, these are numbers that have come to us through the church office. 41,000. Back in 1913, they used that as a comparison. Using the same dollar scale that we have today, it cost $5,500 per baptism. You see, we're about seven times as much it costs today. In real dollars, a comparison between the two. Now, I want to get into something else. Harvard University and Notre Dame came together and created a study. The study was called American Grace: How Religion Divides and Unites Us. And they claim that it is the largest study that has been done of the American population ever concerning religious beliefs. It's a big deal. If Harvard's part of it, Notre Dame, you know, Notre Dame is Catholic and Harvard is what it is. We'll just call it secular for now. And they did this nationwide survey. Huge. And here's how they divided out the religious groups. See if you can keep this in mind because it gets important. By percentage, about 30% of the population that responded was what we would call evangelical Protestant. About 24% were Roman Catholic. About 17% were none. About 14% were mainline Protestant. About 8% were Black Protestant, all other faiths were about 4%, Jewish about 2%, and Mormons about 2%. I know I gave you a whole bunch there, but you can see the evangelicals were at the top, Mormons are at the bottom. Now, They did a survey, and we're going to have some fun. I'm going to ask you about this. Here's what they did. They called these people all across America, and they said, when I say this name, do you have a warm and fuzzy feeling about them? And if you do, would you tell me on a scale of 1 to 5 how warm and fuzzy your feeling is? They call it the warm and fuzzy feeling thermometer. So they talked to these people. Now, remembering that evangelical Protestants were in the majority as far as the most people, Mormons were at the bottom of the list with 2%, and Jews and Catholics and all manner of Christian people were asked, let me ask you this question. On the warm and fuzzy feeling scale, who are you going to guess of the denominations or the religious groups was number one and number two? So that would be an evangelical Christian, you'd say would probably be number one. That would be incorrect. That's right. That's what I said too, sister. No, no, don't tell me that. That's not right. Who was going to be give the most warm and fuzzy feelings when they responded on the telephone? Want to try one more time? Well, we're not talking about individuals. These are just people groups. People groups. No, no. Let me tell you who it was. Because when I tell you, you're going to say, but it's true. The number one group of all the religious groups, the people had the most warm and fuzzy feelings about, were the Jews. The Jews. Who was number two? The Roman Catholics. Who was at the bottom of the list? The Mormons. Very interesting. Their warm and fuzzy feelings, people just responded from the heart and says, this is the way I feel about it. If they want to feel sympathetic toward a group, people group, they're most sympathetic first toward the Jews, second toward the Roman Catholics, and last toward the Mormons. So this then really stirred up the thinking of the professors, like, what is going on here? How can this be as it is? And they came up with two different principles. One is called the Aunt Susan principle, and the other one is called the My Pal Al principle. And here's what they say, why the warm, fuzzy thermometer scale works, why they think it works. You may have a different opinion, but it was true what they said. Number one, the Aunt Susan principle. Why would somebody think something kindly about a particular people group? And they say it's because every people group has within it Aunt Susans. And Aunt Susan is this wonderful lady who you can always count on to do something nice and kind and wonderful, regardless of who she is. But if she happens to be affiliated with a particular denomination, then you think warm and fuzzy feelings about the church that she belongs to. My pal Al, well, they did a survey on that, and they said, well, supposing that Al was a beekeeper, and Al, as a beekeeper, he comes across somebody else. Now, Al is actually an evangelical Christian. He's a little on the radical side. And when people hear he's an evangelical, they're always saying, oh, I don't know about that. But he keeps bees. And he meets somebody else who keeps bees. And they talk about bees. And as they're talking about bees, what is the guy doing in forming his opinion about my pal Al? You know, if he's a beekeeper, and he's that kind of a guy, maybe he's not so bad after all. Do human beings work that way? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. The people who had the survey had a point. Well, I'm thinking, wait a minute here. I see this list of churches, And I don't see Seventh-day Adventists in it. Mormons are in there. Where are the Adventists? Well, here's what happened. First of all, remember, it's conducted by a professor at Harvard and a professor at Notre Dame. Turns out the professor at Notre Dame, which is a Catholic school, is a Mormon. Okay. Okay, he had his people group in there. I can understand that. So I sent them an email. Where are the Adventists? Why didn't you folks mention Adventists in there? Well, it turns out, very simple. He said, we did this nationwide survey, and you guys didn't bump the needle. We only found, I think it was 14 in our random survey. Remember how they do this? They didn't do this by going in and choosing. They just went randomly through the population, all across the nation. You know, tens and hundreds of thousands of people. But when it came up, we didn't bump the needle. Well, what's next? Where would we fit? Here's what I think happened. If we were to fit anywhere, and they agree with this, we would be in the evangelical Christians. That'd be us. Hey, don't you think that's right? Anybody want to disagree with that? I mean, I think that would be us, evangelical Christians. I mean, these are, you know, salt of the earth people. They just are, you know. But the thing is, here's my experience. We may include ourselves in that group of evangelical Christians, but how many of you, I'll speak from my own experience, how many of you have gone and said to somebody, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist? And they said, oh yeah, you go to that little Mormon church down the road, don't you? No, I'm not a Mormon. Oh, you're one of the witnesses. No, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Isn't there a problem there of association? I know I'm all through my ministry I've been combating this, saying, folks, we're not Mormons. Mormons are nice people. We're not Jehovah's Witnesses. They're nice people, but the truth of the matter is, we're different. We're Seventh-day Adventist Christians. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge how one gets associated with those different groups. Well, the Aunt Susan principle. Let me tell you something. Colleen Harner in South Dakota is a friend of ours. And Colleen Harner is part of a ministry in their local Seventh-day Adventist church, where they're making teddy bears to give to young people who are involved when the state patrol goes out and arrests their parents. The state patrol has a bag in the back of their car with a teddy bear in it and some other things, so that when they have to take the parents from the children, the officer can automatically pull out a care bag and give it to the kids. They're doing that. My sister-in-law, Judy's sister, up in Arden, North Carolina, is just now starting a ministry up there. She's working with them up there. Do they have a name for it yet, Judy? Same one. Bags of Love. And what are they going to... What are they generating up there, Judy? It's a bag with... Right, same program. Yeah. So, another little thing you should know is I'm a writer, and I write for the conference. And I have contacted them about writing a story, talking about a little bit about the information you just heard here in this sermon, and wanting to fold in the information about the church members in South Dakota, the church members in Arden, and now, praise the Lord, church members in Aiken. So I'm just telling you right now, that's what we're going to do. Okay? I had contacted the president. Go ahead. What is he trying to do? I'll think about that, brother. So I have already written the president some weeks ago and said, let's do this and let's find churches in Carolina that's either doing it or should be doing it. So I'm just going to tell you right now, we're going to promote that, okay? We're going to do that and encourage other churches to do the same. It's a good, good thing. And if you're not already on board with Becky, get on board. How's that for promotion? Do what you can do. If you can't make quilts, and I know I don't want no part of making a quilt, you can give money. You can help. It's a good thing. I really like what you said. I mean, you take that, the child, as we're talking about Wellip and Arden, if you can just imagine the child has been taken away from its parents. What a terrible, terrible feeling for that child. And to give them a quilt and whatever else you may include with that, you just can't get over that if you're a kid. You will remember that the rest of your life. You just will. It's a good thing. It's something that the Aunt Sue's of the world right here in Aiken can do. And I say, please support that. That's a good thing. All right. Now, we've gotten through the hard part. Now, we're going to have a little fun, in a way. And it's called 14 Basic Things We All Need to Know. And it's taken from a book. I didn't write the book, but I'm going to quote from the book. And when you hear it, well, listen up. There is this guy who is still around. His name is Robert Fulghum. Perhaps you've heard of him. And he wrote a book, 14 Things We Should All Know That He Learned in Kindergarten. And I'm going to go through the 14 things quickly, and then I'm going to stop and go back, and we'll go through and add to it spiritually. He says we should do these things. He learned these on the playground. Number one, share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. I'll argue with you about that later. Live a balanced life. Learn some and think some and draw and paint and sing and dance and play and work some every day. Take a nap every afternoon. Be aware of wonder. Okay, amen on that. Be aware of wonder. Remember the little seed in the styrofoam cup. The roots go down, the plant goes up, and nobody really understands why. But we're all like that. And number 14, when you go out into the world, watch out for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. That's the 14. Now, let's go back, we'll go through them, and add a little spiritual impetus to it. But I think you got the idea. Share everything. Share everything. Mark 25, verse 40. Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Share. Yeah, the words of Jesus. Number two, play fair. Proverbs 22. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver or gold. Yeah. Play fair. When somebody mentions your name, say, that's a fair person. That's an honest person. Number three, don't hit people. Okay? They may hit you back. And sometimes you can hit people with words. Maybe that's the most destructive. You can hit people with words. Proverbs 15, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Anybody who's a parent already knows that. Put them back where you found them. Psalm 37, the wicked borrows and pays not again, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. Yeah, Psalm 37. Number five. How many? Let's see. Looking for the if we had somebody eligible for this, clean up your own mess. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Number 6, don't take things that aren't yours. Thou shalt not steal. Number 7, say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Number 8, wash your hands before you eat. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God in his salvation. And righteousness from, that's a misprint on here. From the God. No, from God of his salvation. Number 9, you are about to smile. Are you ready? Flush. Flush. Yes, do that. Number 10, Adventists, listen up. I know what I'm about to say, but listen up. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Now, you can take and construe that any way you want, all right? But you understand the thought behind it? Yeah, the thought behind it. Remember the guy who wrote this? He didn't have the health message, okay? He just thought it was a good idea. That's Proverbs 23. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Number 11. Live a balanced life. Learn some. Think some. Draw some. Paint, sing, and dance, and play. And work some every day. A couple on this one. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved. That's number 1. And number 2, Proverbs 23:7, for as a person thinks in their heart, that's what you're going to be. Yeah. Yeah. Live a balanced life. You think good things, likely good things are going to happen. All right, here we go. Take a nap every afternoon. That sounded very popular. The sleep of a laboring person is sweet. So is the sleep of a retired person. Yeah. Whether he eat little or much. Number 12. Be aware of wonder. Look around you. Remember where you are. Remember that the little seed in the styrofoam cup, the roots go down, the plant comes up, and nobody knows why, but we're all like that. Psalm 8. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And that's a good question. Sometimes you need to do that. You need to step out on the back porch on a starry night and look up. That will help you readjust who you are and what your place is in God's wonderful universe. Yeah. Number 13. When you go out into the world, watch for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. Now, the scripture I've chosen for that is Proverbs 11. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. There's just a whole lot to that. Yeah. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. But you know, I like this last one because I like to say this. Truth of the matter is, folks, you don't know me from Adam, but the truth is, you know that I'm a Seventh-day Adventist just like you. And we're all in this together. And I've traveled a lot. And I'm just thinking of one time while I was in Africa. And we attended a church service there, and I didn't know up from down about what was going on. But the place was full. I mean, there were, I don't know how many people were there. Thousands, big, a lot of people there. But they were Adventist people, and I knew it. And you could just feel it. And you could just say, I can't speak with you, but I can look into your eyes and I know this. We're all in this together. Praise the Lord. Yeah. When you go out, stick together, hang together, we're all in this together. And I think that is such good counsel. The man who wrote this said this, everything you need to know is in there somewhere in those 14 points. The golden rule and love and basic sanitation, ecology and politics and equity and sane living. He says, take any one of those items and extrapolate it into a sophisticated adult terms and apply it in your family life or work or your government or your world, and it holds true, clear, and firm. He adds this, think what a better world it would be if we all, the whole world, had milk and cookies at 3 o'clock every afternoon and then laid down on our blankies and took a nap. I like that. Or if all the governments had the basic policy to put things back where they found them and clean up their own mess. And he says, and it's still true, no matter how old you are, when you go out into the world, hold hands and stick together. Two final statements. Philippians 2, verses 1 and 2. It's the Apostle Paul speaking to his church members in Philippi. He says, if you want to console my spirit, you want to make me happy, is what he just said, continue to grow in your relationship with Christ. Love one another, submit to the Holy Spirit, and be merciful and compassionate to others. If you want to make me completely happy, the apostle says, be united, show the same love for everyone, and be one in the Spirit and in purpose. And finally this, this is from Nine Testimonies, page 30. I like the way she says it. God expects personal service from everyone to who He has entrusted knowledge of the truth for this time. Not all can be as missionaries to foreign lands, but all can be home missionaries in their families first and then in their neighborhoods. Yeah. Nine Testimonies, page 30. And with that said, there are 14 things that you need to know that the gentleman learned in kindergarten. And I say to that, amen. Right? Well, may the Lord add His blessings to the speaking of His words today. And I just want to say again, support Becky and her ministry. You do that, and we're going to write about it and brag about you to the rest of the union. Thank you. Let's conclude with hymn number 341, To God Be the Glory.